all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today Matt Butler. Matt is a retired United States Air Force veteran and a business entrepreneur or veterpreneur, and we're going to talk about that as well. Matt, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, I know you grew up in Minnesota. Tell us how you ended up in the United States Air Force.
Well, out of high school, my only direction was I was going to go into college and give it a college try there. And no family members have been in the military, but I was approached by ROTC for scholarship and for serving post-college. And so it was just something I looked at that really fit the need at the time. And I mean, you can't pass up the military offering you free college. I mean, there were some requirements that went along with it, but that's how they got me involved into the Air Force.
Well, we get a chance to talk to somebody who went through the ROTC program occasionally, and I think it's useful for our veteran radio listeners to hear about that experience because they may have a son or daughter or grandson or daughter, granddaughter, friend that is considering this. Tell us a little bit about your ROTC experience.
Sure, not a problem. So to become an officer, there's several different commissioning courses that you and avenues you can take. One is going through a service academy, Air Force, Navy, Army, there's Coast Guard, and then also there's various service ROTC avenues of approach too from different universities. And they're from small private D3 schools to D1 schools. And then also you have OTS as well. Is another avenue. And so how it worked for me was, at the time, the services were struggling for new officers in STEM, in science, technology, engineering, and math. And so they had approached me and said, you've got some good grades in regards to science here, if you'd be interested in giving a go to a scholarship here, and you tested well and you kept your grade point level at a certain level. I think it was a 3.0 at the time, or if it was a 3.2. It's been 20 years now, but there's certain requirements. You sign a contract, and then part of the contract is the number of years that you're under scholarship is what you serve in return. And so I was on a 4-year scholarship, and I served. My contract was a 4-year contract in return to them, but it ended up, I stayed in for over 20 years, so I enjoyed it that much.
Well, it really was a good return on investment by the ROTC program there, because you did spend 20 years in the United States Air Force and retired in September of 2018. Tell us a little bit about your military career over those 20 years.
So initially, the pipeline was real full in my career field, and my Air Force specialty code is called Air Battle Management. And what that does is it's into command and control and battle management, and you have the option to serve in different capacities. I spent probably 3/4 of my time on an aircraft called Joint Stars, and it was a joint information surveillance reconnaissance aircraft. If you picture a big 707 aircraft, and on the fuselage, the belly of the aircraft was a monster radar that would surveil the ground, basically giving commanders on the ground and leadership a heads up several hundred kilometers in front of where we were surveilling. And that was the purpose, is for situational awareness for the command leadership.
Andy, I want to sharpen this point a little bit because it comes back in later on when we talk about your move into business. And so you were engaged in your undergraduate degrees in physics. You're engaged in sort of information gathering. You picked up a master's in computer information systems. No business degree anywhere in here, is there?
No, that's correct. And that there's a few programs that are available right now. I can go into details of those, but it was just a self-motivated learning on my own, very good mentorship. But yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, I studied physics. I've got a computer background. I did cyber warfare as well. I went to the Air Force Institute of Technology, but no business background. So I learned that journey on my own, many ups and downs with that.
And that's really why we're having Matt Butler, the inventor of an outdoor game we're going to talk about called Rollers, here momentarily. But I wanted to set this up that this concept came to you while you were on or in between deployments. Tell us about those deployments a little bit and how this idea germinated.
Sure. So over my career, I was on 10 different deployments. And if you've ever been to the Middle East, it is very bland, tan, dry, dusty, and just about all service members, because after September 11th, many of my friends and brothers and sisters have been deployed numerous times. And the majority of everyone is always wishing, you know, they were back home, they were hanging out with friends and family. You know, but at the time they're serving their duty, but you know, people are always thinking of, being home with family and friends. And that got me thinking in between my deployments of one of the pastimes I had in Minnesota was playing lawn games and just hanging out with friends and socializing and just being together. And that kind of started the germination, the seed of what is today Rollers. I just started when I came home from a deployment. I kind of started doing some woodworking and some of the skills I learned in woodworking classes in high school. And then also they have a lot of woodworking shops you can take on the various bases. And I kind of put those skills together, prototyped what is today Rollers. And that's how it kind of started.
Well, I want to talk about the business journey, but now that we've whetted the appetite of our veteran radio listeners and we're talking to Matt Butler, the inventor, business entrepreneur of Rollers, a game company. Matt, tell us what Rollers is about.
Well, Rollers is a very leisure game, and it really is a cross-pollination of a bunch of other existing games that have been on the market for a long time. And some of your listeners may know some of these games and some may not. And some probably are going to be looking up in search engines what they are. But Rollers is a cross-pollination of bocce ball, which is an Italian background, horseshoes, which is fairly American, bowling, which is real popular in the UK, or bowls is another game. Also, petanque, which is a French game, which is similar to bocce ball, dice. There's really a bunch of different games that go into it. There's a Belgian game called feather bowling, so it's what I did with Rollers is I envisioned all the different things that I didn't like about other outdoor games, but then I also thought about the things that I really enjoyed about some outdoor games. And I tried to create just that, what I had in my envisioned as the ultimate yard game, something that's portable, that's fun, that there's a scoring element to it. And so that's kind of how I started it. It goes back to kind of the business 101. When people are evaluating a product and an idea, they are looking at the problem solution. And the problem, like I said, was I was finding things I didn't like about other outdoor games. And my solution was to combine all those into one game.
And Rollers, for those of you who are already on your search engine, is R-O-L-L-O-R-S. So it's Rollers. It is a interesting combination of all of those games. And I think one of the aspects is the surfaces it can be played on. So talk to us a little bit about how Rollers, or where Rollers can be played.
Well, Rollers is very surface dependent. It needs to have an environment like grass or beach, something that is semi-straight. If, say, for example, you were to have it on concrete, well, to give a little bit of background of the game itself, the game is comprised of two goals, which is like horseshoes or popular Midwest games, cornhole or bag toss or bag-o. And then it comes with six discs, three red and three blue. And you can imagine, if you haven't looked it up yet, an oversized hockey puck. And on each side of those are numbers. And you're rolling the disc in an underhand bowling motion as close as you can to the goal. And then at some point, the disc is going to fall over on one side or the other. And that's your points associated. That's the scoring element of the game. And so it's almost like an oversized or a small tire, and it rolls over grass and beach. And like I said, concrete, not so well, only because the disc, you could probably roll it across if you're out tailgating in Green Bay or some outdoor concrete area, it would just continue to roll forever. But that's the element of the game. Like I said, it's leisure. I don't think that anyone is going to break a sweat too much by playing the game. You can enjoy it with a drink in hand if you want. And, you know, people, if they say, for example, they're playing in a wedding or something, they're not going to get too exhausted by it. And the really, it's just to get people off the couch, out talking to each other. I think with smartphones and computers and everything, I feel like sometimes we disattach with people and we're texting and doing all these other things. And we just need to go back to the basics just to hang out with each other and socialize. And I think the game is a perfect means of kind of setting that up.
It really is. And I do encourage folks to go to www.rollers.com to gather more information on it. Matt, it's available at a number of stores, but it's also, I assume, available at a number of our favorite online shopping venues.
Most definitely. It's on Amazon, Wayfair, Walmart, Target, a bunch of different locations. And we love to support specialty retailers, mom and pop. We've gone to a lot of trade shows this year since I retired in September. So it's great connecting with all of these different store buyers. And a lot of them have given me feedback and ideas for blogs of different way to play the game and just general feedback, because that's real important to me, just to get the people that actually played the game, interacted with it. And I get a lot of that on social media too. People will tag us in pictures, and I enjoy seeing that, because it's direct feedback and just a kind of a pat on the back that we're moving in the right direction with the company.
So as anybody goes into business, you have to have an idea, and then you have to figure out how to implement the idea, and then there's marketing, and then there's price pointing, and then there's all those other things, shipping, the logistics. Talk to us a little bit about this journey that has gone through all of those stages to where now you are in some of the biggest retailers in the country.
A lot of it was learned at the beginning. I actually initially started selling the game at church and craft fairs. And that's where I started to get feedback from a price point perspective, what people felt they would pay for it. And then looking at other companies and looking at their packaging, what's the best way to package it? What would be a good carrying case to have? Color schemes. I learned that along the way, but there's some great resources that I utilize that are free to veterans that help me build a really great, sturdy foundation for the company. And one of them was, it's called Veterans Entrepreneurship Program, and it's a free course, and they will actually pay for your hotel and travel and food. And it's sponsored by various universities. Off the top of my head, ones I can think of are University of Florida, OSU, Oklahoma, Tennessee, I think Grand Forks. There's a few different ones, and you get these professors that come in that teach entrepreneurship and business, and they break it down into different areas that are needed for entrepreneurship. Finance, business logistics, insurances, just operations. And so all those different type of things. So I took that course probably 4 years ago. And like I said, it helped build a sturdy foundation of where I was going in the direction of the business. And then there's another wonderful resource. It's Institute of Veterans of Military Families. And that's the umbrella name of a bunch of different programs that support veterans, and not only veterans, but spouses and female entrepreneurs that are wanting to get into business as well. They're based at a Syracuse University in New York, and they have a bunch of wonderful programs, wonderful sponsors that give a lot of money to help veterans with their transition from not only just transitioning out of the military to civilian life, but just helping guide them in the direction that they need to be successful. And again, without those, I would probably still succeed. But to be honest, like I said, they built a solid foundation and gave me the ammunition I needed to develop this company. And that's what helped fed into gaining and gleaning information on trade shows, distribution, and working with retailers. And so post-graduation from those programs, they've left a lot of open connections for me if I ever run into a roadblock or have any questions. There's a lot of people that are on my speed dial I can call up that I've met along the way to help me with some of the unknown of some of the decisions that come in business. Because entrepreneurship is not always what you read in the magazines. It's always positive. There are always setbacks. There's always ups and downs. And I think the more that veterans and veteran entrepreneurs network with other people, they will just, prepare themselves for that and know where to ask. And when it comes to veteran entrepreneurs, they are so willing to give their time and feedback. And it's a small brotherhood. And I know I think entrepreneurship in general, everybody wants to help each other succeed. They don't want anyone in business to make the same mistakes that they made. But when it comes to veteran entrepreneurs, I just think it's just even a whole new ball game, because they will go out of their way to ensure and make sure that you're not going to run or struggle into those same things that they might have.
Well, I think everybody knows any mission, that you plan isn't going to go as planned. And similarly, any business plan you write, the business isn't going to go as you wrote it out. Mistakes will be made. Moving on from those mistakes is what you learn in the military, and that's also what you learn to be a business owner. I assume you've got a mistake or two along the way that you might share that highlights you have to be resilient to be an entrepreneur.
Oh, definitely. And you hit the nail on the head when you talked about, going out on a mission. You don't just go out on a mission completely cold without going into and preparing. And that comes into developing a business plan, looking at the finances, doing a risk assessment of, if you're looking at making a choice, what's the ramifications? What is your plan B and C to exit out of something that might not be going well? Some mistakes along the way is, one of the pieces of advice I would give is, if you're starting a business, I would have a business account, personal account, completely independent from each other. And some people might be saying, well, that's just basic sense. But to be honest, there's a lot of people that don't. I would look at getting a business credit card, keeping it separate. I think a limited liability is fairly common practice and probably the best advice for people. Having a good team around you in regards to, a CPA that understands the ups and downs of entrepreneurship and the finances, that can tell you if you're going in the right direction. I've made mistakes in regards to logistics and inventory. Inventory is a tough thing. You have to understand what is your sell-through rate, understand what a realistic sales are. I've had too much inventory, and I've also sold out of my inventory several times. And your body really doesn't know the difference from a stress perspective as if you have too much inventory or if you don't have enough. Your body still reacts the same, and you're still stressed out about it. And so that's always been a struggle, is inventory management. Do I have too much? Do I have too little? And am I just right on the fine, sales trend that I want to be? And those are a couple just insights. Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to learn what time of year things sell, right? There's a whole new set of things to think about as you go into the entrepreneurial world. And I want to back you up and talk about one other thing that you just sort of touched on, because I think this is something veterans don't necessarily have a full grasp on. If you've been in the military your whole career, you have a whole network of friends who have moved from base to base, and you have a network. But when you retire and make the transition, you plunk down in one spot, and you are now having to build a whole new network of relationships different than the ones that you had for the last 10 or 20 years. Talk to us a little bit how the schooling that you mentioned gave you a new network, and what other things did you do to develop a business network as compared to a military network?
Well, I think that anyone that's in the military, they may think that the military and business are far from each other. And if you're thinking that, I just want to let people know, your listeners, that they're very similar to each other. It's just a different mindset. Like I said, we talked about evaluating your risk and operations, very, very similar. But networking is always key to the military, because you're going to meet people along the way on a deployment or on a PCS, a new base location, maybe at a conference, a TDY that you're on, and you keep those connections. You exchange business cards, emails, telephone numbers. And for example, as you start to rise in ranks, a very common practice is people to go on a staff tour. And so I worked in Air Combat Command at Langley Air Force Base. And I remember the 06 I was working for just said, Matt, you need to get out of your cubicle and you need to go to all these different directorates and meet other people. Same for business. You know, so as I said, I've been going to a lot more trade shows and interacting. And some of my best connections I've made are with other businesses. You know, we've exchanged information. Maybe it's retail buyers. Maybe it's other trade shows. Maybe it's things that we can split and go on together on different things, say warehousing or anything like that. So it's really using those same things that were taught in the military, except you're just transitioning to business.
Well, that's an excellent explanation that I think will help a lot of folks as they sit there and think about, I don't know that I have the ability to take that step. There may be a stronger network than you realize, and certainly there's a way to build that network if you're missing it. Tell us a little bit about how the financing came together for you.
For the financing, I really took and set aside a specific amount of money that I felt comfortable with. I shouldn't say in losing, but I was just very, the term in business is bootstrapping. I was very frugal as well with the money. And anytime I made money through sales, I just put that back into the business. So at this time, I've really never taken anything out and put it into my personal account, except for the money that I initially invested with it. And that's one avenue of approach for business, and it's one that I recommend if you have the ability. Not everyone has the ability, and so there are other methods that you can take. You can take loans out. You know, you've got family and friends, but again, that changes the dynamics of things as you start to get family and friends and emotions involved. So,
well, I think that's the lesson, though. The lesson is that you're going to have to keep investing. You're going to have some capital to get started. But you have to keep investing in the business, don't you? Just like you have to keep training to keep your military skills sharp, you have to keep investing to keep your business skills sharp.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, there are shows that I'll go to that are educational and networking. And those is, it's hard to put a dollar figure on that. For example, if I go to a trade show where I'm trying to sell to a retail buyer, I have orders post-show and other follow-up calls and hopefully getting more orders. So I'll go to educational ones. There's one in Washington, D.C. that I'm going to in September. It's called Military Influencer Conference. And what that is a bunch of veteran entrepreneurs and influencers that are in the military entrepreneurship. There's blogs, there's all sorts of different people there, and that's networking and it's educational. We have other speakers that have talked about things that they've learned, and it's hard to even put a price tag on it, but that's what military and entrepreneur and all people in business that want to succeed is they have to continually to educate themselves. You cannot stop educating yourself through podcasts, reading online, books, magazines, and attending conferences.
Well, Matt Butler, this is these are great pearls of wisdom you're giving our veteran radio listeners about making that transition and jumping into the business world. As we bring it to an end, tell folks again where they can find your outdoor game known as Rollers.
Sure. Take a look at it on rollers.com, R-O-L-L-O-R-S. We've got a newsletter that goes out that's very educational. If you sign up for it, you get free shipping. You can also find it on other larger retailers like Amazon and Wayfair. And feel free to reach out to me if you ever have any questions, any of the listeners. If there's anything you might need, you know, I will do my best. I will get back to you at some point. But, you know, right now is our busy time. But if I can point you in the right direction or try and connect you, please reach out. Don't hesitate. And the best way is probably just through our website, rollers.com, and that email will eventually get to me, and I'll get back to you.
Well, we want to thank you for taking time today, Matt, to talk to our veteran radio listeners and pass along some of your hard-earned knowledge.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on. Have a great one.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Veterans Radio needs you. If you like our shows that are informative, surprising stories, and relevant information on what's happening at the VA and the military, we'd like your support. Individual support of $5 to $50 a month or corporate sponsorship of $1,000 to $10,000 would be welcomed. You can go to veteransradio.net, click on the sponsorship or support tab, pay online, and keep Veterans Radio on the air.